Thank you for watching today. I hope that the broadcast is a blessing to you today, and I'd ask you to turn in your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 28. I hope that you'll get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scripture references as we give them to you today. I appreciate you watching every Sunday. I'd like to ask you to write to me and let me know what you think about the broadcast. Now, as you know, every Sunday for several weeks now, we've been talking about following the Apostle Paul. And our reason for doing this, our reason for presenting these studies pertaining to Paul, has nothing to do with trying to be wise or smart-aleck or any such thing. It's just that I believe with all my heart that the gospel of salvation for this age of grace was given to the Apostle Paul. I believe that without you believing in the message that was given to Paul, you cannot be saved in this age of grace. Paul said that he's the apostle of the Gentiles. He's given the gospel of the Gentiles. He's given the dispensation of the grace of God to the Gentiles. Then it seems to be obvious to the serious Bible student that the Apostle Paul would be the one to follow in this age of grace, not Peter, not James, and on and on. And I realize that there are those today who say, well, I believe in following Christ. Well, so do we. We that believe in following Paul follow Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, I've talked to you about the fact that Christ did send the apostles to teach the nations. He did send them, and he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved, and on and on. And so there seems to be a contradiction in terms here. In other words, if the message is given to Paul for the Gentiles in this age, well then what about the message that was given to the 12? And so we're considering that, and I want you to consider the so-called Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Before we look though, I want to remind you of our discussion in the past, how that according to Exodus chapter 19, God Almighty exalted Israel above the Gentiles. Moses was called upon Mount Sinai, and God said, Moses, go tell Israel, tell my people, if you'll obey my commandments and keep my covenants, you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth. All the earth is mine. So God exalted Israel, not physically, but spiritually and politically above the Gentiles. But Israel did not serve the Lord. Instead, they began to follow the idols of the Gentiles. And so God sent the prophets unto them and preached unto them repentance, but they didn't repent. And then he sent John the Baptist unto them, but they didn't believe John the Baptist. And so Jesus Christ came unto them. And so instead of believing in Jesus Christ and acknowledging him as the king, they said, away with this man, we have no king but Caesar, and they crucified the Lord. But you must understand that the ministry here, as Israel is going to go to the Gentile, has to do with their rise, not their fall. In other words, if they would have obeyed the Lord, as in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, and so forth, if they would have accepted him and whatever, the idea being then that God would have saved Israel and that through Israel's ministry, the Gentiles would have been brought to the Lord. Through their rise, the Gentiles would have been brought to the Lord. But instead of them rising, instead of them believing the Lord and whatever, they crucified him. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 11 that through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Well, then, right now, we're in a sort of a valley here. In other words, there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But just as John the Baptist came to them back here, preaching unto them repentance, Elijah is going to come to them over here, and they're going to rise. God is going to exalt them again over the Gentiles, over the nations. Jesus Christ is going to come unto them, and Jesus Christ is going to reign over them, and they're going to be the head nation, and Gentiles then will be brought to God through the ministry of Israel at that time. But now, in this age of grace in here, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, not Peter, not James, not John. And so in rightly dividing the word of truth, we can divide off Romans through Philemon, knowing that they fit perfectly in this dispensation in here during that period of time when Israel is fallen. And the commission of salvation, for salvation to Gentile, is not that commission that was given to the 12, but is a greater commission that's given to the Apostle Paul. Now in Matthew chapter 28, notice in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, the commission is followed by the church today around the world, they say. And yet, really, no one is following the commission. Now, there are several things about it that is very evident. Please observe that he said, go and teach all nations. Scholars say that the word teach there is not the same word as teaching in verse 20, but the idea is to make disciples of the nations. I don't know whether that's true or not. And then teach them as nations. That sounds reasonable to me because I know that the commission has to do with a time when Jesus Christ is reigning on the throne of David. He's reigning over Israel. Israel is saved at that time, and Israel as a nation brings the Gentiles unto the Lord. Now, there are several things about this that are very clear. For instance, he said, go and teach all nations. Please turn in your Bible to Numbers and look at Numbers chapter 23. In Numbers chapter 23, now we're just going to believe the Bible. Numbers chapter 23, verse 9, for from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. In other words, Israel, instead of being reckoned among the nations, was to be exalted above the nations. Turn, please, to Deuteronomy, and look in Deuteronomy chapter 28, keeping in mind that God said, Moses, go tell Israel, if you'll obey my commandments and keep my covenants, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all nations. All the world is mine, and on and on. You'll be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation unto me. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and on and on. In verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall the fruit of thy body, and on. There is no way that you can look at Israel as a nation today and say that this is true of them in this age that we're living in. No way can you do that. You cannot say that you believe words mean what they say and say that Israel is being blessed of God today and that blessed is the fruit of their land and on. Or anybody that believes that has some problem between their ears, beloved. You just don't believe that words mean what they say, if that's what you think. Obviously, God has not exalted Israel today above the Gentiles and above the nations. They are fallen instead. But that isn't all. Look in verse 13. Now, let's go to verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, and have the heaven to give thee the rain into thy land for his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Obviously, God is not blessing the hand of Israel today. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. And on and on. Why, Israel is not the head of the nations today, and you know that. Now, anybody that knows anything about what's going on today knows that Israel is being trampled down and have been trampled down since A.D. 70. And they have borrowed from other nations, and other nations have given unto them, and it's a consistent thing to try to keep them up and keep them alive and keep them from being trampled down. Now, look in verse 44. Come on to verse 40. Let's go to verse 43. In other words, if they do not follow His commandments, there are certain things that are going to come upon them. Verse 43, the stranger that is within thee shall get thee up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, and on and on. Why, folks, that has happened through the fall of Israel. Salvation is coming to the Gentiles. Israel is not the head today. They are the tail. Israel is not exalted above the nations. They are equal with the nations, and there is no difference. Turn in your Bible, please, and look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, and we'll just believe the Bible now. In Romans chapter 11, verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall. Salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. In other words, instead of being exalted as the head of the nations, now through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Turn back, please, to Romans and look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, look at verse 9. What then? Are we, the Jews, the reference there, better than they? That's the Gentiles. No, in no wise. We before proved both Jew and Gentile, they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none right, and on he goes. No, folks, Israel is not exalted today. Israel is fallen. And yet, when this commission of Matthew chapter 29 is in force, Israel will be the head and not the tail. How do I know that? Why, folks, the passage there says, go and teach all nations, and my Bible says that Israel was not to be reckoned among the nations, but you understand something. This is written and this is said before the truth of Romans 11 was ever made known. You see, Jesus Christ commissioned the 12 at a point here, looking forward to His coming again over here. But Israel became a fallen nation here. They will rise again over here, and the commission of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 on, will be carried out at that time. They will be exalted above the nation. They will be the head and not the tail. And they will carry the message that was given to the 12. They will carry that message unto the nation during that time. The commission will not work during this age of grace. But that isn't all. We're not going to give up yet. Let's try again. Notice in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, when are they to go and teach all nations? When He has all power in heaven and earth. But if you believe your Bible, you know that Jesus Christ is not exercising all power in heaven and in earth right now. Turn in your Bible, please. And notice in Matthew 25, and in Matthew 25, notice in verse 31, Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. In other words, it's a time when the Lord is going to come again, and He's going to judge the nations. But He isn't judging the nations today. Why, folks, it's clear if you'll just look back. For instance, in Genesis chapter 12 back there, God said to Abraham, Abraham, I'll bless you and I'll bless your seed after you. I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And there was a time back there that God Almighty did bless Israel. And God did curse the Gentile nations that cursed Israel. Why, you know that Egypt cursed Israel, and God cursed them. Babylon cursed Egypt, cursed Israel, and God cursed them. On and on. Media Persia, Rome, all these nations, they cursed the nation Israel, and they went right down the tube, so to speak. God cursed them. But there came a day that no longer happened. For instance, through the fall of Israel, they rejected their Messiah, they rejected the Holy Spirit, they rejected Almighty God, and through their fall, salvation came unto the Gentiles. But they're not exalted today, but they are going to be. The Lord's going to come unto them, and He's going to judge among the nations. But He's not cursing the nations today for what they're doing to Israel. Why, anybody on the face of this earth can go in there with guns and tanks and trample all over Israel today, and God won't lift a finger to do anything about it. Why? Because they're under the curse today. They are reckoned among the nations today. And it is totally different than that which will be over there. But let's try again. Turn, please, to Hebrews and look in Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus Christ is not exercising all power in heaven and in earth. In Hebrews chapter 2, notice in verse 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him." Turn, please, to Revelation and look in Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, which has to do with the future, Revelation 5, verse 11. "I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." In other words, there is a time He's going to receive this power because He's worthy. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died. Jesus Christ whipped the devil on His own terms. He faced him in hand-to-hand combat, and He whipped him. But yet, He has not chained him yet. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled." In other words, the angel's going to come down. He's going to take Satan, chain him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, seal him up there. Christ shall reign over Israel and over the nations during that millennium. And during that time, Israel will be the head of the nations, and Christ will have all power in heaven and earth. And that's very clear in Zechariah chapter 13. In Zechariah 13, there'll be no false prophets. There'll be no demons. There'll be no idols in the land. It'll all be put away. And Christ will exercise all power in heaven and in earth. But how about now? Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them." During that period of time over there, Satan will be chained, demons will be done away, there will be no powers to blind the minds of people in that time. But during this age in here, God Almighty has given us an age of grace. That is, Satan is still left here. Demoniac powers are prevalent today, and you can be blinded. It is up to you. You've got your choice. You can believe in Jesus Christ and be saved, or you can follow the demoniac powers of this world and be damned eternally. But it's your choice. God's given you that choice. That's what the world wanted. And God said, okay, have at it. You got it. And the world's got it today, but bless your soul, there's a day coming that all the demoniac powers will be put away, and Jesus Christ is going to reign supreme in that age. Turn, please, to hold on to Corinthians there, and turn to Ephesians, and look in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, and notice in verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You mean, Lord, that we wrestle against powers and wickedness today? Well, then if we wrestle, we better say, by the grace of God, if we are wrestling against principalities and powers, we certainly are not wrestling against the power of the Lord in that instance. Why should we put on the armor of God to fight against God's all power? Obviously, He is not exercising all power in heaven and earth. Obviously, there are powers in the world today that are not the powers of the Lord. And yet, my text in Matthew 28 says, I am given all power in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That obviously cannot be this dispensation of the grace of God. But let's not give up yet. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice in verse 2, he said, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, which no man can do in the millennium, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, they can't do that in the millennium, but you can now, which you've not received, or another gospel. There can't be another gospel. Why? Christ will exercise all power in heaven and earth, and all prophets shall be done away with, all demoniac power done away with, the devil chained in the bottomless pit, and no one will be able to be deceived at that time. But that isn't all. Who would do that today? Look in 2 Corinthians 11 and look in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Sure as this world isn't cast into the bottomless pit, is he? Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, Satan is very powerful today. He's the god of this world. He's the political leader of this world. He's the religious leader of this world. And he has his own ministers. And these ministers, these black-robed ministers, these robed ministers with their beautiful scarves around their necks, they stand in the pulpits today and they make all sorts of blessings and all things with their hands, and they come forth with their beautiful words, and people fall on their face in front of them, and they bow before them and whatever. And people are deceived and they're blinded by these demoniac powers today. Jesus Christ is not exercising all power in heaven and earth. During the millennial reign, there won't be any phony prophets. There won't be any phony apostles. None of this will happen. Why? Because Jesus Christ will come in His power and His great glory, and He'll put down all demoniac power and authority, and He'll chain the devil in the bottomless pit, and He'll exercise that power. And during that time, Israel will teach all nations, and they will baptize those nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let's try again, though. Notice something else. Turn back in your Bible, please, and notice in Matthew chapter 16, notice that the authority and the power that He gave the apostles. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that's pretty powerful, I'd say. Turn please to chapter 18. I mean, if there's any doubt that he's going to get it across, in chapter 18, look at verse 18, talking to all the apostles, said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, they would have been led by the Holy Spirit in such a manner back there, empowered by the Holy Spirit in such a manner that whatever they bound on earth was that which was bound in heaven. Whatever they loosed on earth was that which was loosed in heaven. That's the reason that Peter could stand and look at Ananias and say, Ananias, why hast thou lied to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the profit that you got from the land and when you sold it? On and on. That's why Peter could do that, because he had this great power. It was within him, and whatever he bound on earth was bound in heaven. But notice something that happened. Turn, please, to Galatians. And look in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 7. Paul said, but contrariwise, when they, the apostles saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Come to verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And whatever they bound on earth at that time was bound in heaven. Listen to me. Jesus said to them back here, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them. And yet here, they deny that commission. They said, Paul, you go to the nations, we'll go to Israel. And they shook hands on that, and what they bound on earth was bound in heaven at that time. The great commission of Matthew chapter 28 has no more effect on you today than anything else in this world. The great commission of Matthew chapter 28 cannot be carried out until the enemy be bound in the bottomless pit. The great commission of Matthew chapter 28 cannot be done. You cannot baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and God honor that, until that day when Jesus Christ comes in power and great glory and sits upon the throne of His glory, judges the nations, casts the devil away, binds the demons, and fixes it so that that commission can be carried out. What about right now? Salvation is free to you. That salvation is that salvation that was given through the Apostle Paul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He died for your sins. He was buried and God raised Him again for your justification. Believe on Him and be saved right now. Until next time, good day.